The title of my sermon tonight is What is Essential? How much toilet paper do you really need? How many cans of tuna fish do I need at my house? That is a question I have asked myself. I go to tuna, that's what I go to. What do we need? What's essential for our spiritual lives at this time? This has been a holy week unlike any other. Weeks ago, those of us who spend our time thinking about worship services, planning them, getting everything ready, we were realizing this was going to be different. The Virginia Theological Seminary offered 2 webinars and many resources for observing Holy Week during a pandemic. Ellen Johnston and I both attended those webinars and have shared with you through emails and bulletins a lot of the fruit from that time. Listening to James Farwell of VTS, professor of liturgy there and theology as relates to liturgy, I was inspired by his passion and his hope for this week. This time of church being different, there is hope and promise in this time. He had us focus on what is essential about these Holy Week services. What is at the core? What is at the heart of tonight, this night, Maundy Thursday? While we are not able to receive communion in the bread and the wine tonight, we are able to have spiritual communion with God and each other as we consider the grace of this night. I feel it. I mean, I've got gallery view on. I'm looking at you all. I'm feeling the spiritual communion. Jesus and his friends, his followers, they were living a lot of tension, with a lot of tension, just as we are. They knew that many in power wanted Jesus arrested. They wanted him gone. They felt threatened by him. They were threatened by the movement that was forming around him. Under threat, Jesus gets to what is essential for his friends and for all who will come after in this movement that would become known as the Way. What the teacher taught his students that night would form the community to come and continues to form us as community for ourselves and those we serve in the world. What is essential about this time that we are living in? Will what we are learning now shape the communities to which we belong and in the months and years ahead? I hope so in good ways. Will our experience of being church in this time shape us as a faith community in the months and the years to come? I hope so. I think we will be even closer to each other. I think we're going to learn more and more about what's essential in our faith during this time. And we're going to be close to each other because we will have gotten through this together with God's help. What was essential on that night long ago remains essential for us and our world. Jesus shows them that community is everything. First, in sharing the bread and wine with them, and teaching them that he would always be with them in the sacrament, but also in the community gathered to celebrate God's great love. And though we are not able to share the bread and the wine tonight, we are sharing this essential part of that experience, being together. And in fact, this is a key element that we have to be together for the other. Priests in the Episcopal Church do not and cannot celebrate the Eucharist alone. What a great day it's going to be when we're all able to be together in our church again and celebrate the sacred mysteries. But even now, we are fulfilling God's dream for us, expressed in the teaching of Jesus that night, that we would be together and find strength through each other and God among us, even in this way. You know God's here. You know God is with us. Jesus was showing them then, and us now, that we are fed by our community, that we're strengthened in faith through our fellowship. And when I say faith, what sort of faith? Faith in what? Faith about God, faith about life, faith about each other. God created us and loves us. This is our part, a huge part of our faith in God. And what about our faith that life itself is a gift every day, even in difficult circumstances? And our faith that, in fact, we, you, are God's beautiful gift to our world. For our joy, God's joy, and so that we can be strong for others to our extended, with our extended communities. Those of you who've come to the Storytime service or heard me talk about it before know that when we gather in the church, when I'm there with all the children and others who come to join us, when I tell the story about the bread and the wine, which I do every time we're there and about to share in the body and blood of Christ, I also tell the part of that night that is usually not told, certainly not every Sunday. This important part of the story that Jesus washed the feet of his friends and taught them that in serving others, he would also be with them. How did he show them how to love? By this foot washing, by this vulnerability, by this intimate act, an act of servanthood. For those who wish to grow in love and faith and grow into the likeness of Jesus, the full stature of Christ, we often say, what he taught about servanthood is essential. In washing their feet, Jesus taught that all are called to serve and to be served. When we know that everyone is created in God's image, we know we are all equal and we desire to be treated with dignity and we desire to treat others with dignity. COVID-19 is showing all the ways we are not equal in our society. The fact that we've moved in Richmond and in many other places, moved homeless people into hotels, into shelter, places of shelter now because of the virus, makes all with eyes to see and think about it. We think, well, how's it okay that they're on the street at other times? How's that okay? What about their health and well-being when we're not under a lockdown and afraid of that they might spread the virus to other people, right? African Americans are getting sick and dying in greater numbers, percentage-wise, than others. What does that tell us? And what does it make us want to do? What would Jesus want us to do? To serve each other, to wash each other's feet, means to be about care and compassion for all, to love as Jesus loved. This day is named for the new commandment that Jesus gave, Monday, from the Latin command, commandment, commandment Thursday. And we hear Jesus say to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Writing about this love commandment of Jesus, Gail O'Day writes, and this is interesting, it's a little different than how people might think about it. To love one another as Jesus loves us does not automatically translate into giving one believer into one believer's death for another, nor does it mean to deny oneself for others. Jesus did not deny himself. He lived his identity and vocation fully. Rather, to love one another as Jesus loved us is to live a life thoroughly shaped by a love that knows no limits, by a love whose expression brings the believer closer into relationship with God, Jesus, and one another. It is to live a love that carries with it a whole new concept of the possibilities of community. Tonight we will not be washing feet, but hands. The suggestion is that we have this bowl and water with us. When we wash our hands tonight, we connect with the one who washed others. We remember that time. We think of that time. And we think of our time. Who will ever wash their hands in the same way without thinking about what we're going through right now? So hand washing, who knows, maybe we'll do some hand washing in the years to come, remembering those we've lost during this horrible experience and those who suffered so much. So if you are alone at home tonight, like I am, well, Dash is here, but he's not going to wash my hands. We can imagine Jesus washing our hands, your hands, as you wash your hands. Imagine Jesus. He cares for you. He wants you to be well and safe and secure. As we wash our hands, we also think about how we are serving others by doing so, limiting the spread of the virus, limiting the spread of germs. If you're with other people who you're not having to distance from at home, you could wash each other's hands. And this is symbolic, right? So we're just using a little bit of water. We're doing the symbolic washing right now. You could wash each other's hands with love and with this intention of sharing a blessing with them. Jesus was not going to be with his friends in the same way ever again. The family setting of sharing a meal, the teaching, the learning from him, it would never be the same again after that night. Many of us wonder if our lives will ever be the same, the life of our nation and our world. Jesus wanted them to know and us to know that he would be with them. Nothing could change that. Jesus is with us. With Jesus, they were and we are part of something much bigger than ourselves, bigger than our fear, bigger than our uncertainty. Even though things were changing, Jesus would be with them, and he had given them everything they needed to be the people he was calling them to be the community he was calling them to be. Even though things have changed and are changing for us, Jesus is with us, having given us everything we need to be the people God has called us to be, the community God has called us to be for our joy, God's joy, and the benefit of others. As we come to the end of this service in a little while, I mentioned earlier that it's going to end with Psalm 88. And this takes us into that portion. It's going to take us into that portion of the service. If we were at church, we'd be stripping the altar. It really creates that sort of feeling. The very last verse of this psalm is, "My friend and neighbor you have put away from me, and darkness is my only companion." That's how this service ends. And so as we get into that, and as you live into this night, imagine the Last Supper, their last meal together. It's coming to an end. And we go out with Jesus into the dark night, into the garden, where everything is stripped away, where we, like Jesus, will find what is essential. Amen.